To you all of the bridal company, born of the seed of Abraham and co-heirs of the kingdom with Jesus Christ, our bridegroom king, you who are the fruit of that prophetic seed that was sown into the ground and died, that he, that prophetic seed, Yeshua, might bear much fruit, many compatible sons and daughters, who were spiritual flesh of his spiritual flesh and spiritual bone of his spiritual bone, compatible partner who could be his precious bride. We pray for you. We pray for you all and you for us, that we may together grow into him and reflect more and more of his likeness. Reflect. The word reflection. That's a hint about what I want to share today. Whilst continuing to think on the theme of the two realities introduced by Dr. Mike Pike in his recent word for today, I was interested to read an article reported by Reuters on Tuesday that the moon will get its first ever mobile phone network next year, courtesy of Vodafone Germany. This will enable high-definition streaming from the lunar landscape back to Earth. What, you might be asking, does this have to do with the Bride of Christ, with the Jewish festival of Purim, which is taking place at the moment, or with the Bible, or with Esther? Well, let's have some first reflections. The moon holds a central position in Jewish theology, as well as the fact that the Jewish calendar follows the lunar cycle. The Old Testament is full of references to their religious festivals based on Sabbath moons. We also see further ties between the moon and the Jews in tracts of Jewish law. The Talmud puts it this way: the Jewish people are compared to the moon, and therefore we count according to her cycle. But of course, this Reuters report is about a connection on the moon itself, not between the moon and the earth. It's part of a movement towards another self-sustaining planet. But in line with our word for today's studies, we also see within this Reuters report a hint of the two realities that Dr. Mike has been expounding to us recently, one in the heavenly realm and the other on the earthly, or one as the primary reality, the other as the secondary. Of course, in this case, quite literally, it's a celestial connection facilitated by the earthly technology. But going further, what is most coincidental as far as Judaism and Christianity is concerned is that the news should come as the Jewish holiday of Purim is taking place. And as you know, Purim is a celebration of the sacrifice and intercession of Queen Esther, and Queen Esther is a type of the Bride of Christ. In previous Word for Today's, we've explored the meaning of the different names given to this Jewish heroine, like Hadassah, or Hadass, meaning myrtle, as in myrtle tree. But in all this, we have seen her as a type of the Bride of Christ. And it has revealed much to us about the character and authoritative position of the Bride of Christ and her relationship to the Bridegroom King, to her Bridegroom King, the Lord Jesus. But the name she is most well known for is Esther, which comes from the Aramaic word Sehara, meaning the moon. The Talmud says that the nations of the world called the heroine of Purim by the name of Esther, since she was so beautiful as the moon, found in Megillah 13a. Yet there are many ways to describe beauty, so why is Esther compared specifically to the moon? Well, we hope to see. Firstly, let us consider the difference between the lunar and solar calendars, because they will shed some light on all this for us. To understand the significance of the moon in our studies, it is helpful to explain the prominence of the moon generally in Jewish thought, and especially in the context of the calendar which is based on the moon. The first commandment in the Torah is, well, HaKodesh Hazar Lakem, which literally means, this month is yours, which is the Torah's commandment to establish the Jewish lunar calendar, found in Exodus chapter 12, verse 2. The word chokdesh, meaning month, is derived from the Hebrew word kadesh, meaning new. Unlike the solar calendar, which is connected to the Earth's annual orbit around the sun, the lunar calendar is based on the waxing and waning moon. From a Jewish perspective, the moon is reborn every single month. It waxes until it is completely full and then wanes into oblivion. Whilst the sun is consistent, it's consistently present. The Gregorian calendar or Julian calendar, which is internationally the most widely used civil calendar, is named after Pope Gregory the 13th, who introduced it in October 1582 as an attempt to bring alignment between a holiday and the time of the year when the church was celebrating Easter. The moon is reborn every month, but as Ecclesiastes 1 verse 9 says, there is nothing new under the sun. For in contrast, the sun represents a system of time when no observable beginning or end is seen. The adage, there's nothing new under the sun, is a verse from Ecclesiastes which describes a realm of time which has no observable beginning or end, and which does not seem to lead to a particular destination. And the Talmud associates this non-Jewish nation's systems of time with the sun, which set itself in time. That's found in Sukkah 29a. The Julian or Gregorian calendar is common use today and it's based, as we've said, on the sun. However, the lunar system is replete with renewal and leaves room for providence and flexibility, where the sun's calendar is rigid, something that is impossible in a system strictly based on cause and effect. Likewise, the Bride of Christ, like the moon, must live perpetually under the sovereignty of the King of Kings, the Sun, but we'll say S-U-N, Son of Righteousness with healing in his wings, which by decree and creation has brought into being the moon, and in this case, the bride. And in her relationship with him alone, the bride and the bridegroom, the moon and the sun, receives her glory from the sun. Similarly, the moon's glory is but a reflection of the sun's glory, is what I've just said. And her position of alignment is crucial to her visibility. She has to position herself in order to reflect his glory, the moon to the sun, the bride to Jesus Christ. The Hebrew word for moon is levana, which comes from the word lavan, white. White reflects all the colours of the visual light spectrum and is the ultimate symbol of reflection. This light, she, that is the moon, the bride, receives from the sun, S-O-N as well, alone. Further reflections. A return to the story of creation provides for us a further insight into what the sun and the moon represent on a deeper level. The Kabbalists, who were the ancient Jewish tradition, is the ancient Jewish tradition of mystic interpretation of the Bible, it explains that God created the world also to receive his light, which conveys the ultimate good and becomes a demonstration or expression of a far deeper reality. Here we see the two realities once again. One is a reflection of the other. And the consequence of sin that the first Adam committed in so doing denied the sovereign God his desire to manifest his glory throughout the earth. Our faith invites us to live in these two realities, but not to be of the two realities. We are lit to live in these two real dimensions, but to seek to merge them with each other, or better still, to allow the spiritual dimension to dictate the terms and outcomes of the natural. It was always God's will that it should be so, being in the world, but not of it. The earth was to be a reflection of the paradise of God in heaven, the natural reflecting the supernatural, a secondary reality of that which was primary, a manifestation in the natural of what was perfect and spiritual. And so Jesus, the second Adam, came to restore what he had been lost and by the first Adam, and began the redemptive plan of God, which would create not only a new earth one day, but a new species of God-men like him. He not only restored the Adamic race, but brought about a metamorphosis, from the word morph, or new form, a new race of mankind, unlike anything that had gone before, of his kind and of his form. But enough for today. We will pick up this theme tomorrow. Matthew 6, verse 9. Jesus taught them to pray, saying, "Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Revelation 1, verse 6. "And hath made us mortals to be kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion for ever and ever. Amen. Maranatha."